pray together. God, thank you so much for just allowing us to get together in your name. God, thank you for letting us to get to rest our souls in you. God, I pray that we wouldn't forget that that's just something that we can do on Sunday morning. But God, it would be something that we could do anytime, any place. God, we just have to make time for you. So Lord, this morning I pray that you would just speak through your word and be glorified in all that we do. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a seat. You guys doing okay? Nice and bright. I like that. I can see you guys. I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about what we're talking about. I'll be real honest with you. God's really been speaking to my heart about it, which is usually the case. But I feel like this morning it's some of that stuff that I don't know. For me, it's very similar. This will sound weird to some people. It may sound weird to my wife. I'm not sure. But it feels like, you know, when you know something that you know everybody else is going to want to know, but you know and they don't know, and you're about to announce it, like having a baby or something like that, which, by the way, we're having a baby. We've been having a baby, so it's not anything new. But, you know, it's that feeling like that, you know, of you know, I'm about to tell you something that very well may change your life, if you want it to. And, you know, it's not anything complicated. It's not anything that's all that just like, you know, crazy, I've never heard this before or whatever. But I think that it's one of those things that we complicate because that's what we do. We complicate things. I mean, let's just face it. We do it all the time. Women, you're not alone. Men do it too sometimes. Don't be tough on me now. And so, you know, it's just this amazing thing that I think that so many people are so hugely in need of right now, but they don't realize how big of a need it is in their life, and it's community. And of course, we're in this core series, which are the core convictions of our church. This is, you know, what our church is built on. It's what, you know, it's what Scripture teaches, core beliefs in our faith that God has called us to. And we've been talking about different things. We talked about Jesus 1 week. We talked about Scripture 1 week. We talked about the gospel 1 week. You know, this week we're talking about community. And you know, and it's one of those words that I think, you know, we have so many things that go with that word. When we hear that word, we immediately start thinking of certain things. And we think of, like, you know, a Sunday school class or small group, home team, you know, type situation or whatever it may be. But the truth is there's so much more to community than many times what we have experienced. And so today we're going to look at Scripture and we're going to see some things that Scripture has taught us about community. I think one of the great things about community is that we see God in community. I don't know if you realize that or not, but if you go to John 1:14, we begin to see the picture of what we know as the doctrine of the Trinity. And this doctrine is a very important doctrine to our faith, and it's the understanding that God is one God, three parts. And it's this amazing thing of, you know, God is still one, but there are these three. There's Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You've probably heard of these guys at some point along the way. And you know, the deal with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture is that we see the Father, and the Father is glorifying the Son. And then what's the Son doing? Well, the Son's glorifying the Father. And we see, you know, the Father glorifying the Holy Spirit. And what's the Holy Spirit doing? Well, he's glorifying the Son. And then also glorifying the Father. I mean, it's just this crazy thing going on here that you know, they're three equal parts, but they have different things that they're responsible for. Different things they do. If you go to John 1, verse 14, it says this. By the way, we're going to run through some Scripture today. So if you're wanting to take notes, there's at one point during this, I'm going to be just rattling off verse after verse. And if you those are not going to be on the screen, so just be ready. John 1:14 says this. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, right here, the very beginning of this verse says, "And the Word became flesh." And "Word" is capitalized there. The reason that it's capitalized there is because it's talking about somebody. Anybody want to take a guess? Word is talking about? Jesus is always the right answer at church, okay? Most of the time. And so we've got this understanding that Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh. And this goes back into Genesis. Go to Genesis 1 and 2. Check out that stuff. You're going to see more of this crazy stuff. And it's just nuts. Because Jesus, it's not like, you know, when Jesus came, God the Father was like, oh, well, I'm going to create a son real quick and I'm going to send him to earth. No. And the Word became flesh. The Word already existed. Jesus already existed. He was already the truth. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Just weeks and weeks upon stuff we could talk about right there. Became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. And so we begin this understanding that even God himself has community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now this morning, we were meant to have community. We were meant to have community. We're meant to gather together and worship corporately like what we've been doing already this morning and like what we're doing right now through God's Word. But it goes even further than that. Community is not just about a weekend gathering. Community is not just about going to church on a Sunday morning and checking that off. In fact, if that's the way you see going to church is like, hey, I'm going to go check it off, then you are living in a religious system. And I just got to tell you, throw the religious system stuff out the window, because this is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about here. And so we see another just great picture of who God is calling us to be in one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and it's in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we have this amazing picture. You go read a little bit before that, and you'll see just how awesome, just what God was moving and just saving people, and just thousands of people were coming to Jesus, and just amazing stuff was happening. And in verse 42, and it comes back, and this is the beginning of the early church right here. This is it. It's an amazing picture. And it says this. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, that's just the beginning. That's just the first verse. And right there in the first verse, we see in the early church the importance of God helping us to understand that we need to be devoted to these same things. They were devoted to what? To the apostles' teaching and to what? The fellowship. They were committed to one another, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I love the breaking of bread and the prayers, by the way. Scripturally speaking, the breaking of bread and the prayers are all through Scripture. Now, here's where we complicate things. And I've watched the church. I say the church at large. I'm not talking about 24. I'm just talking about the church. Jesus, you know, Christ's church, the bride of Christ as a whole. Over the last 20 years, try to pick up on doing some things a little bit different. We've got, you know, different models of doing different things, and you know, we're just picking something that we feel like is working. It's not, hey, we've got it better than anybody else or any of that kind of stuff. But one of the models, the model that I grew up with very much so, was the Sunday school model. So on Sunday mornings, you have a Sunday school class, and you go to church. And one of the reasons why we're not a big proponent of that is just because, especially when you're a new church, you have to build buildings for that. And we just kind of see that as, you know, that's using a whole lot of God's money. Can we use it another way to do something for the kingdom of God? And so we promote, you know, what we call small groups or home teams, and those meet throughout the week. And they're very much, hopefully, a picture of what we see right here. Well, I've watched the church work through this small group thing for like the last 20, 30 years, whatever. Even as a youth pastor, I would go to church, go to these large churches, you know, they've got it all together and they're doing, you know, they got like 20,000 people or 5,000 people or whatever. And every guy that I know that's a discipleship pastor or a small group pastor at one of these churches, I love getting to talk with those guys for just, I only need about a minute with those guys. And I just usually ask the same question to every one of them. I say, well, You guys doing small groups? And they're like, yeah, we're doing, you're going great. And like, cool. And I love asking this question. I say, so do you guys have it figured out? And they always, it doesn't matter how big the church is, they're always like, no. We don't. In fact, we're on like our 15th model of how to try to do this thing. And the truth is we just complicate it too much sometimes. It's really simple. Community is meant to be really simple. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In verse 43, it goes on. It says, and awe came upon every soul. Very fitting for what we just did a few minutes ago. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, listen to this, all who believed were together and had all things in common. How in the world? I couldn't get five of you together and have everything in common. I don't think I'd probably get two of you together and have everything in common. How in the world? How is this happening? And all who believed were together and had all things in common. It goes on, verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. This is still applicable for today, by the way. If God starts to speak to your heart about your stuff, he does that to me a lot. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Community. Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. This is a picture of what we have complicated. This is the correct picture. And I can't turn around and say that I can just paint it perfectly for everybody else and every one of these other churches that I was just talking about a minute ago. But the truth is that when it gets down to it, it's really not that hard to do this. Devoting yourselves to the apostles' teaching, devoting yourselves to Scripture, praying together, eating together. I mean, come on. Eating together? I mean, this is good. We like this, right? Now, I'm extrovert, so, you know, I mean, I like, you know, you can ask Aaron, like, people could be around all the time. Every once in a while, my, like, only child thing kicks in, and I'm like, I will see all of you later. I'm going to the basement or a garage or a field or something away from everyone. But for the most part, I want to hang out with people all the time. I love it. It's what we did. Very beginning of the church, anybody that was around during that time, no, many of you were not, but anybody that was around during that time, you know, we spent 4 months before we had our first church service just meeting with people to talk to them about the church. 4 months. And you would say, oh, okay, well, you probably, you know, had like a dinner once a week or something. I'm talking about like every day, every night. If people would sit down and hang out with us, we go, hey, we'd love to talk to you about the church. I was amazed at people that would call us. I still to this day don't know where some of the people came from. Like somehow they heard about the church, they got my phone number from somebody. Next thing I know, we're you know sitting at the pizza place having dinner, which is a glorious picture, by the way, in Pleasant View, especially back then. And so, you know, and it was just this, it was exciting. It's exciting to be with people, to get to know people. I got to tell you, that's one of the things that kind of stinks a little bit about a church as it gets larger. There's just no way possible that I can get to know every single person, just, I mean, like through and through like I would really like to. And that's my personality. I'm a people person. I like doing that stuff. I know that's not easy for a lot of people. But here's the truth of it. We're seeing a picture of the church that as it acts out correct, simple community, we're seeing God bless it. We're seeing God bless it. We're seeing God work in people's hearts. We're seeing them changed. And we're seeing others saved by it. I'll be honest with you, reading that reminds me a little bit of the beginning of 24 Church, because that's a lot of what it was based on. Because, I mean, let's face it, we didn't have a building. People that wanted to show up to set up and stay after church and help tear down had to be crazy. There has to be something wrong with those people, right? But God did a very special thing. And it's continued. And you're sitting here because it's continued. You're a part of this because it's continued. But here's the thing. No pastor can do that long term as a church grows from 69 people that we had on the very first Sunday to hundreds of people. Here we are 5.5 years later. So what does God want to do? He wants all of us to be a part of community. And I'm not just talking about small groups. I'm not just talking about Bible studies. I'm not just talking about community groups. We're about to start some community groups, by the way. It's kind of a new thing that we're doing here that are, it's basically kind of like a home team, but it's kind of precursor to being in a home team. So if we don't have a home team available for you, you can go straight to a community group. And we've got several. We've got one for folks that are 18 to 25, meets on Thursday nights. We've got one that's going to meet on Sunday nights. It's for anybody here. I mean, it's just all over the board. And, you know, so we've got that stuff. We've got the home teams. But I'm not just talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the people that God has put into your community, people that nobody else, your sphere of influence, if you will. I've done tons of leadership stuff, and one of the things you always hear about is, you know, who is in your sphere of influence? The truth is you have tons of people that are in your sphere, whether you're an influencer in their life or not. You could just be a friend. You don't have to be an influencer necessarily to love them. The truth is that you can love them, and as you continue to love them and show them Jesus, they're going to let you in more and more. You'll be able to speak into their life. Share the gospel. Bring them to church. Bring them into community. This picture is amazing. Breaking of bread and prayers. How hard is it to cook a meal and invite people over? It's not that hard. You say, well, Chris, we don't have a lot of money right now. All right, fix spaghetti. It's cheap. Well, I don't know if I really want them in my house. All right, take them to Taco Bell. If you want to take them somewhere nicer, that's great. You know, but here's the thing. You know, we have become so busy. So busy. I mean, basically, we are using busyness as an excuse to sin. You get that? We're using busyness as an excuse to sin. We've taken all of this stuff that we think in our heads that, you know, we just can't do without. You know, it can't do without me. I gotta head that up, and I gotta be in charge of that, and I gotta, you know what? I watch person after person after person just burn out these days. I'm not even necessarily talking about in the church. I'm talking about some of these people are people that I love very much that they may be a part of our church, but they're so involved in the community stuff that I watch them just burn out. They never get to be involved in the church because they're so involved in the other. And there's nothing wrong with doing any of that stuff. But the thing is when that stuff becomes like, you know, our life, if your life is about like sports that your kids play, come on. Like, as a former youth pastor, I've watched just families just get ruined by stuff like that. I'm not saying don't do sports. I'm just saying know how to say no when no needs to be said. They don't have to play every single thing. Have a life with your family. Truth is, as adults, we don't even need our kids' helps most of the time to have all these 15 million things to do. We're great at just saying yes to everything at work, right? We're just like, you know, we're workaholics. I'm a workaholic. Over the last 3 weeks, I've been moving. I'll say that with a big sigh. And it has been just a little close to a nightmare. I won't say a nightmare because I feel like there's some other people that have better nightmares than me these days with just trying to get into their homes. Speaking of the Loxleys. You know, but it's just wore me out. I've worked all day during the day. I've actually been getting up at like 7:30 in the morning. I don't know what happened to me. I'm possessed, apparently. And then I've been working all day, working on church stuff, working on whatever, and then in the afternoons, going and jumping in my old nasty truck, and one of the guys in my small group, one of the guys in my home team, has been helping me move, and we have been moving like for, I don't know, like 2 weeks straight. And I don't know why he's still talking to me, actually. And we would move from like 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 6 o'clock in the evening up to like midnight or 2 in the morning, just depending on how gung-ho we were at the moment to try to get stuff. I mean, you know how this stuff goes. And it's a season. It's a season, and I realize that. But I got to tell you that getting to the end, toward the end, we're pretty much right at the end of this season that we're in of the moving thing, I am regretting not spending more time in community with other people. I think the reason why is because I've seen God work so much in community with other believers and even people that don't know the Lord. I have neighbors that I've talked to a little bit and some I haven't talked to at all yet. That shouldn't be. Before this year is out, I hope to have every one of them over to sit at my house and eat and talk about Jesus. You go, well, Chris, that's a little forward. They already know that I'm a preacher that shoots a cannon off on New Year's Eve. They knew that before I moved in somehow. I'm not even sure how. We're so busy that we are making excuses to sin. And it's bad. Let me tell you, this is what happened this past week. Well, over the last several weeks. You know that last year I went through a master's program where I traveled to Seattle almost every month. And a part of that program was I had another pastor who's now a very great friend of mine that basically discipled me. It was called a coaching experience or whatever. Truthfully, what he was doing is he was shepherding and discipling me along the way. And he and I are about the same age and in very similar places in life. So, I mean, really, we're just kind of going through doing this stuff together, you know, and he'd be convicted, I'd be convicted, and we'd confess sin to one another and all this kind of stuff and repent and push each other toward Jesus. And it was just a beautiful thing. So, at the end of the program, they gave me the option to go to a training to be able to do that for other guys that are going through the same program I went through last year, this year. And so I said, you know what? That's meant so much to my life. I'm up for doing that. I will give up a few hours of my week every other week to be able to do that. And that's about what it takes. And so in the very beginning, they gave me 3 guys. This was just several weeks ago. They gave me 3 guys, and we started out. One guy dropped out pretty quickly, which is pretty norm, because it's a pretty big workload, and I think only about half of us made it through from when we first started. And so then I had 2 guys left, and one of those guys, Steve Mount, I'm discipling him and shepherding him right now, and then another guy named Dennis. Let me tell you a little bit about Dennis. Dennis and I first started emailing back and forth. They send me the contact info, and we begin talking on email about when we're going to do our coaching calls. And one of the things that I've been real clear about, and what they were pretty clear about too, is that it probably needed to be done during the day so it's part of my work day so it doesn't cut into my family time. It's already, we have a tough time just being together as a family like many of you do because we're so busy. And so Dennis and I keep emailing back and forth, and finally at some point, you know, we're not really getting anywhere. We're not finding a good time for us to talk. He's wanting to talk on Saturdays, and that's really not a good day for me. I kind of close myself up and spend time with this on Saturdays after even I've worked on it a lot during the week. And so finally we talk on the phone, and I just said, Dennis, bro, what's going on here? You not have any time during any day for us to do this. And it's about 45 minutes on a phone call, and he's living, you know, like in Washington State he was living in Michigan. And he said, Chris, I'm really honestly too busy to talk during any day of the week. And I was like, really? I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah. I was like, man, that I just don't know that I can coach you, bro. I said, maybe we need to find another coach for you. But my understanding was it's supposed to be during the day. And I have a feeling you're going to have a tough time getting somebody to do this because you don't want to do it like at 8 o'clock at night or something like that. I said, man, I can't do that to my wife and kids. And I got to tell you that about a year ago or 2 years ago, I probably would have said yes to that. And probably would have said, you know what, I can do that. I can give up a little time away from my wife and kids. That would have been a poor decision for me to have made. The truth is I ended up not coaching him for this year. And the truth is so many of us, we're that busy. We're so busy that we're missing some important things that God has called us to, but especially this thing called community. Now here's one of the things that I think causes us to get here. Materialism. I think this is honestly something that many of us need to repent for. This is honestly something that many of us were so much into striving after what we want and what we're doing. Because especially guys, men, here's the deal. You and I, we're so wired up to work, want to provide for our families. It's good to provide for our families. But the truth is that we want to take it over the top. And we'll work and work and work until we're not just providing for our families, we're earning money to collect junk. And what this does is it becomes an excuse for us to sin and not be in real, authentic gospel community with other people. Probably one of the greatest telltale signs of the time that we live in right now is social networking. And I love social networking. Twitter, Facebook, keep up with all kinds of people. I had a conversation with someone just a couple weeks ago. They may be here in this room. And one of the things that we were talking about was they were talking about going to their high school reunion. And they were just talking about how, you know, they weren't sure they wanted to go to their high school reunion. They were friends with a lot of them on Facebook, and they kind of liked just having the Facebook friendship with them. You know what I'm saying? Some of you had people in high school like this too. And so, you know, and truth is, I understand where she's coming from. But here's the thing. In general, our life and our relationships are getting built on social network relationships that, let's just be real honest, they are not real gospel community. Real gospel community looks like a whole bunch of other things. In fact, I've got a little list here. It's not like some complete list. I just threw it together. You know, it's not the gospel. It's just some truth about community. And real gospel community looks like this. The first thing on the list is that it's messy. It's messy. Gospel community is messy. You know, I think for us to understand, for us to know, you know, if you get into a small group, if you get into a community group, I don't care if two of you decide that you're going to start like a little side project of ministry or something, you know, for the church, whatever, there's going to be a moment when it's going to get messy. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to get messy. Many of you have experienced this. Many of you have experienced it here at 24. Many of you have experienced it at other churches, and that's why you left those churches. Truth is some of you may not should have left those churches biblically. You may should have worked it out. Real gospel community is messy. It takes work. It takes work. It's centered around the cross. It's confessing sin to one another. Let me ask you a question. Do you have one friend right now in your life that you could sit down with and confess a legitimate sin that you need help overcoming? Do you have one friend in your life right now that you could do that with? You see, so many people do not. And so many people, the truth is, it's not only, you don't need just one, we need a team of people around us that we know love us and we know will push us toward Jesus and toward holiness. It's a part of it. We need to be able to confess our sins so that we can help each other put it to death. Got like a little bam thing going on right there. Didn't mean to. Gospel community is putting work in and getting worked on. It's give and take. Putting work in and getting work on. You see, this is the stuff, this is why we don't get in the gospel community. We're like, oh, well, you know, it sounds good to go and eat. It sounds good to have a little Bible study. But you mean that we got to like talk to each other and let God really mess with our hearts and be honest with each other and confess sin and get worked on and put time in? Gospel community freely gives of itself for the good of others. You know why we don't like that, don't you? It's not about us. And see, so many of us, we think that we need gospel community just for us. Part of us needing gospel community is the fact that by Scripture showing us, we're supposed to be a part of it. Not just for us, but for others. You may go, well, I don't have nothing to give to anybody else. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. Gospel community celebrates strengths in one another, not threatened by them. In other words, if somebody is really good at something and they show up on the scene, maybe you've got this one thing you do as a part of ministry, and you know, they show up and they're really good at it, and you're like, wow, I'm a little threatened by that. Instead of feeling threatened by that, instead of judging ourselves based on others, we should judge ourselves based on obedience to Jesus Christ. We should celebrate when somebody does show up that's really good at something, even if it is something that we thought we were good at too, and they're good at it. We're like, awesome. Now it's not just me. We're a team. We're working toward the kingdom. Gospel community values being with others over doing with others. And that last one right there is a biggie when it comes to us and our busy schedules. Because if I asked some of you if I could see some of your calendars, you could show me calendars where you're meeting with people all during the week. I got a calendar. I show you where I'm meeting with people. I got a lunch here and there, a meeting here and there, counseling, you know, whatever it is. But the truth is there's a difference between being with someone and doing things with them. And gospel community is about us being together in real relationships that go deep, so deep that we're willing to confess sin and repent together. The church is about one another's. One another's. I've done this study over the last couple days about one another's. You should do it. It's really worth doing. If you have ESV Bible online or whatever, you got some kind of concordance like that where you can just type in one another and, you know, hit search. You'll pull up all these scriptures. Just read through them. Awesome, awesome thing to do. I've got a ton of them here, and I want to just read some of them to you. And this is where it's going to be kind of like a machine gun. Just bear with me. John 13:34 says this. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." John 13:35 says this, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The loving one another one is big, by the way. It's over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in Scripture. Romans 12:10. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love the way that's worded. When's the last time you heard Scripture say outdo someone at anything? Outdo one another in showing honor. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Live in harmony with one another. Romans 15:14. To instruct one another, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Are y'all awake? And the deal with that is, you know, this was a normal greeting back in the day. It's like, you know, how you would greet your family. This is family. This is talking about the church being the family of God, being the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. I know some churches that could hear that. Galatians 5:13. But through love, serve one another. Oh, we don't like that. We just want to come to church. We don't want to serve anybody. We just want to like show up, right? To heck with serving anybody. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens. Let me ask you a question. Are you lonely? Do you find times in life right now where you feel lonely? If you do, you need to recognize that that's because you're probably lacking in real biblical community. You see, the whole social media and our work and all this stuff that we've got going on lends itself for us to make ourselves feel like we have lots of friends all around us just waiting to help us at all times. The truth is, the guy that came and helped me move over the last several weeks, guy in my small group, and another friend. It's not bad toward anybody else. Just the truth that everybody is busy. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. You want to know what the church looks like? It does not look like this building. It looks like believers being one another's, doing one another's, serving one another's, encouraging one another's, giving to one another. That's it. So, Chris, I don't have time. Dennis Dykstra from Michigan didn't have time either. I don't know all the details of what happened this week in Dennis's life. Except I know this. He was 33 years old, exactly my age. I was really looking forward to coaching Dennis. And he didn't have time during the day. And he was married. He had children. He only had time to do this at night. And Monday evening, Dennis got up from his chair, grabbed a hold of his chest, and fell over on the floor and died at 33 years old. As a young pastor who loved people and thought that he was doing the right thing by being busy all the time. And Dennis's life was a reminder to me that life is a vapor and that being busy is not what's important. It's what we do with our time while we are here that is important. And the truth is that if we're so busy that we can't have community with other believers, then we have led ourselves into sin with excuses of this world that we need more and that we don't have time. You see, the beautiful thing about all of this is this. God wants us to have community because we're a bunch of sinners. Yeah? Like, no two of us are ever going to get along at every time. It's just not going to happen. So why in the world would God want us to do that? It is the purpose of our life. It is that we would bring him glory, because when people see us work things out instead of run the other way, they see Christ. Because we wouldn't do that on our own. We would just say, heck with it. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. So the next time you're in a situation, small group, friends, neighbors, whatever it is, and something comes up, I want you to think about the one another's. I want you to think about what Christ-like community looks like. And I want you to start thinking about this. Instead of waiting for someone else to invite you into community, if you recognize that you need community, then do something about it. Because you know what? There's a bunch of other people that need community. And truth is, I can't invite everybody to my house anymore. I'd really like to. So now it's your chance. And now we do it together. Instead of waiting for other people to serve us, let us serve others. You might say, Chris, I've only been coming to 24 Church for like 2 weeks. I don't care. It's what Scripture says. If God's leading you to be a part of the church, be a part of the church. Let's do it. I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I'm just looking for people to join me. Are you up for that? I'm praying right now about the future leadership of our church. We're about to send a bunch of people out to start a church in East Nashville. This ain't done. We got a lot going on here. We've got holes back in the back right now. We just need folks to help handle kids and pray over kids and love on those kids while their parents are in here hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's going to do that? Who's going to lead ministry teams? Who's going to be future pastors? Who's going to be future deacons, church planners? God's calling some of you. He may not be doing it yet, but he's going to. And I'm ready for it. I'm watching, and I'm loving every minute of it because I'm seeing just a little bit here and there. God wants to use every single one of us for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Excuses are popular, but they just become excuses for sin. And the truth is at the end of the day, this is so simple that all we have to do is reorganize our schedules and go, you know what? We need to make a night every week where we invite someone new to our home and have dinner for them, cook for them, and ask them if they know Jesus. You know what? We need to get into a biblical community of believers for Bible study and accountability where we can confess our sin, a home team, a community group, whatever that looks like. We've got a new home team starting in like 2 weeks. The community groups are starting right now, I think, or in a couple of weeks. You can find out all about that at the welcome desk on your way out today. And here's the last thing. Because you see, community is not just in those groups, it's right here. It's right here. And God is giving us opportunities every Sunday with new people walking in the door that we've never met before for us just to turn and actually talk with people after the service is over instead of running out to the football game. And I love football. But life is like a vapor. And there are many people that have come in here and probably left, and no one has really ever engaged with them, a real conversation of how are you doing? What's going on? Where are you from? Get to know them. Invite them over for the game. Have community with them. Take them to eat. Figure out whatever it is that works for them and go, okay, I'm going to do that. If they go, well, we're really busy. All we do is we just play ball. We're at the park all the time. Go, hey, well, can I come to the park and bring a lunch? I'll bring you some lunch, and we'll just sit and talk while we're watching the kids play ball. We need community. And so does everybody around us. I would love to see us have to run people out of here like an hour after the service is over with. I would love to see it. It would be my dream, it would be my wish that this church has that type of community that is a conviction in our hearts and not just something that we talk about and we want to meet one night a week and try to do, but it's something that we live every moment of our lives. God's in community. We know He wants us to be in community. It's real simple. Eat, pray, study the Word. We'll be glad to help you with it. I promise. Be glad to help you with it. Let's pray together. God, this morning I'm convicted of my own life, my own busyness. God, I know that many others probably will be too. God, I pray, Lord, that our conviction wouldn't just be something that we just talk about or that we just feel, but that it would be something that we would actually work on and who You're calling us to be as Your children, as Your sons and daughters. God, I pray, Lord, that our conviction would lead to action, that we would pursue community, that we would create it right after a service today, God, that we would begin to create it, that we would begin to create time in the week allocated just for hanging out with people, new people, people we've known forever, being in gospel community. God, I pray for the home teams, the small groups, the community groups that are a part of our church. God, I pray that this week, as some of them meet, God, that You would just even begin to lay on their hearts maybe things they need to tweak, maybe things they need to change. God, You've done that in my heart in the last week. God, do that in theirs. Lord, we just want to be more and more like You. That's our prayer. We love You, Lord. Thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have a relationship with Him, or you don't know what that means, we would love to pray with you back here in the back. There'll be some guys back here. We'd love to pray with you. We'll be there. If you just need to pray about something, maybe you need to come back there for community for a minute and just pray about something. We'd love to pray with you. Furthermore, we also right now have time for you to take the Lord's Supper. It's on either side of the room, and we're inviting people that are believers. Scripture teaches that this is something for believers, people that know Christ, to participate in. But before you do, I ask you to be honest with yourself. And maybe you need to confess sin to God. Maybe you need to take a minute and pray before you go and do that. Your heart needs to be right to approach that. The bread represents the body of Christ, and the juice represents the blood that was shed to forgive us of our sin on the cross. That's the good news of the gospel. And you have an opportunity to go and thank God for that and remember that in this time of worship. Take this time, spend it with the Lord. Glorify Him.